When we were back in 2 Corinthians this morning for our passage, the Lord's Word to us. Picking up where we left off, we'll be in chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 6, going through the end of the chapter in verse 15. So that's 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 through verse 15. So this is God's Word to us this morning. Beginning in verse 6, he says this. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness abides forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all, while they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, indeed we come before you this morning. And Lord, we want to come with thanksgiving in our heart. Help us to see the indescribable gift that you have poured out on us, and then let that transform us into your image to be, oh, such gift givers. Never being able to give what you gave, but giving nonetheless. And so, Lord, I pray that you would again speak to us through your word. Lord, speak. Well, nothing good happens unless you speak by the power of your word. And so that it might continue to transform our minds and sanctify our thoughts, and taking every thought captive to Christ. Transforming our hearts and our desires. Only your word by the power of your spirit can do that. So I pray that we as your people, as believers, your word would do this. Every part of your word is good for this, good for instruction, for us to walk in righteousness. And so Lord, may we not just come to it's good to give attention to your word. Why would we not? The God of all creation, our maker, is speaking. May we give attention, but may we give attention not just to learn truths and facts for our mind's sake, but, oh Lord, how shall we now live? So I pray you work in us to make us more active in our faith, and we walk more like Christ. As always, Lord, for those who have not come to faith, Lord, who have not come to the obedience of the gospel. Oh, Father, may you work and give faith to bow the knee, to repent, to trust you, to trust Christ in the beauty of the one who was given for the sake of the sinner. May they see their need, Lord. May they see how great it is. May they see the beauty of the gift you've given them. Not worthy of it in the least. Why? That's the question usually comes to the redeemed. Why would God do this? Oh, but this is who you are, full of grace and mercy and love. So, Lord, we ask you to save. All to the glory of your name. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the topic of money and the topic of giving can be a tricky one for the church to navigate. As I said a few weeks ago, The reason is because it's so personal. Many people take that so personal, and that nobody has a right to speak to that, right? So because of that, churches can kind of fall into two ditches, in my opinion. They go to two extremes. One, they never talk about it because they're afraid of offending somebody, so it's never spoken of, even though... And then the other ditch is that that's all they talk about, it seems like. Well, it's overemphasized, unhealthily, just give, right? Those are the two ditches. Myself, I like to take a very simple approach, and that's this. I will speak about it as little or as much as God's Word speaks about it, right? I think that's one of the blessings, one of the benefits of preaching expositorily, verse by verse. That lets God set the agenda for the topics that are spoken of and talked about, right? He gets to set the agenda. He gets to set the frequency, right? It's God's agenda, not man's. So because of that, right, that's why we as a church have been in this topic of giving now for a month, so to speak. Why? Because the Holy Spirit saw fit to move on the Apostle Paul to write an entire 2 chapters in this letter about this offering for the needy saints in Jerusalem and encouraging believers to give and why and all the principles involved in that. So because of that, because so much space was devoted to it, we've had the privilege of being exposed to God's truth to the giver, right? God's truth to teach us about this topic in a right manner. And there's many lessons that hopefully we've learned as we've gone through it, right? And that's going to continue today, right, for one more week. As we look to our passage for today, we're going to finish up this chapter and we're going to see Paul's continuing to talk to the Corinthian believers about the same thing. He's encouraging them to give and why and how and all these important things. And as we look at this passage this morning, specifically verses 6 to 15 here at the end of the chapter, just like before, I believe there's many lessons I think we can learn as a giver, right? As a believer in Christ and how we ought to give. And specifically here, I think we can learn a lot because we can see several dispositions that we ought to have as we give. Dispositions being attitudes of the heart, right? Manners in which we give, why we give. So just hear that off right off the bat. What matters is not just the act of giving, right? God doesn't, you've heard that hopefully in some of these sermons. God doesn't just care about the act. He cares about how. It's the heart, right? He doesn't need the money. It's about working out faith in the right way. So we're going to see some dispositions I think a believer should have as they give, right? As they give. So we're going to see 4 here in this passage, I believe. So what are they? Well, the first one is this. When we give, we ought to have a disposition of generosity. We ought to have the disposition of generosity. And just look at verse 6. It says, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully." Now, the Apostle Paul again, what's he doing? He's encouraging, he's calling the Corinthians to give, right? And as he does this, he now uses this analogy with the Corinthians, right, of a farmer, a seed sower, right? And he's saying, you as a giver ought to be like the seed sowers, right? Because a seed sower, right, he doesn't sow seed sparingly. He sows it bountifully, right? So therefore, you as a giver, you shouldn't give sparingly. And then he compares it to sowing. You ought to sow or give bountifully. Right? So generous. So right there, we ought to be a generous giver. Right? And isn't it true, if you know anything about seed sowing at all, and the farmer, and I go back the old-fashioned way, we've got drills and seed broadcasters and all these things, you can still see the same analogy, but I go back just the old-fashioned way, having a burlap bag of seed. Right? And you've got a field prepared, and why are you sowing seed? You want to get a crop, right? The seed's going to produce something. So you, when you've got this big field and you want a big crop, do you take, you get a little pinch and all that'll do it, right? No, of course not. Be foolish. You know if you want a bountiful crop to come up, you got handfuls of seed, man. You're broadcasting them everywhere. You want to cover that ground with seed, right? That's the thought here with Paul. He's like, just like that, the seed sower, you know that, and in a completely agrarian society, everybody got that. Like, oh yeah. Yeah, you got to sow a lot of seed if you want a bountiful harvest, so should the giver be, right? So should the giver be. You don't want to give with little pinches here and there, if at all. You want to give with handfuls, generously, right? As you scatter, as you give to the poor, the needy, to the work of the Lord, you want to give generously. Because why? Because that's what you can expect. As you sow, you shall reap. What do you mean? Well, you see the principle here, not just that we should give generously, but as we give, so shall we receive back from the Lord, a blessing from the Lord, right? If you give sparingly, there'll be a little bit of a sparing blessing come back to you. If you give generously, the Lord blesses you generously or bountifully. That's this bountiful harvest that he's alluding to here, is the blessing of God. As we give, he blesses the giver, right? Makes sense. Now, as we think of God blessing the giver as he sows, what do we think of automatically? Money, right? I'll give a $5 bill and we'll get a 20 back, right? Or something like that. The whole Word of Faith movement's built on that idea, right? But that's not the driving motive here to give, as Paul gives, and to get God's bounty back. Now, will God and can he bless financially when you give generously? Yeah, he can, and he does sometimes. But the most important blessing is God blesses spiritually. Right? As you give, God will pour out his spiritual blessings upon you. As you give, it will produce a crop. And it will actually bless you as the giver. And Paul's encouraged them. It'll give a great harvest to God and to you as the believer. What do you mean a spiritual blessing? Well, more of God in your life. More God's presence in your life now. And I believe also a recompense the reward in heaven. As you obey, right, out of faith, God will bless you spiritually way more than what you give. Way more than what you give. So it can be possibly something financial here, but it's spiritual is the main blessing. Now, just so you know, this isn't the only place in Scripture that God promises this. This is all over Scripture, actually. I'll only give you just a couple. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 through 25 says this, says, there is one who scatters and yet increases all the more. And there is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. There's a general principle. The generous man will prosper, right? Now again, prosperity is going to be spiritually mainly. That's the main prosperity, but that's the promise God says. You generous, there is a promise from God. Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. In other words, your measure of giving, that's the measure you'll get back. That's pretty plain. There's others, there's really a lot of others. Proverbs 28:27, Malachi 3:10, I didn't write that down, but you probably know that one. Test me, try me, prove me. God says, I'll open the windows of heaven, and I'll bless you. So the point is, as we give according to God's call, rightly, right? Now listen, you don't give, go home, I'm going to give it. God's... You give rightly out of obedience because God calls you to. You trust Him. God says, I promise you, I will bless you. Therefore, we ought to give, have a generous disposition, trusting God's blessing. Now, before I move on, I want to testify to this. I do. I want to testify to this. I think I've spoken this before, but I want to make sure. There was a time in my life, in our life, early married life, I was not a generous giver at all. If I gave, it was very sporadically, and it was very sparingly. All right? Well, through circumstances that God brought in my life, pressures, things that He loves me, He made me aware, and I was convicted, right, that this is not right. And so it was like, will you trust me? And so But then and there we decide we're going to trust the Lord and we're going to give more as we should, right? Regularly and hope way more generously. And listen, it wasn't because, okay, if I do this, God's going to No, really, I didn't have that idea. It was like, God, I just want to obey you. I want to trust you. And I did that. We did that. And my wife will testify. She'll tell you. And it was almost immediately God began to bless us in ways that I just didn't anticipate. And I'm not talking about financially, right? Although there was good there too, because one, he began to teach me and teach us financial principles of wisdom that I never had before. Like, oh, duh, why didn't I see that, right? And to begin to walk by. So there you go, wisdom. And then there, I can't explain this either. There was a way in which, okay, me not shortly after that, we actually began to make, through choices we believe by faith, we made less than we made before. Brought in less. We're giving more than we give, a lot more. And yet, you do the math, it doesn't make sense. That went further than when we had before. Only God can do that. And I knew it, I had to testify to Him. So I'll give you that, the testify to God. But the biggest blessing was the spiritual blessing He poured out on our life. God just began to work in our life in a way He never had. It wasn't anything I did. It's just like He just showed up, right? And He began to lead us and move us in ways that we've never looked back. So I want to testify and to the truth here. God bless, he promises to bless the giver, and He will if you trust Him. Just to give out of faith, not giving greedily, like, okay, I'll give, Lord, if I get something back. That's not faith. Just give and trust Him to get, He'll get what you need. And that's what He did. And He's done that, and He's continued to do that. And I'll never look back. So I want to just testify, this is true, right? And so we ought to give with, as God promises, and we ought to give generously, right? All right, that's first. Secondly, this is the easy one you should see here. You all know this first, but we should give with a disposition of what? Cheerfulness. Cheerfulness. Verse 7, let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Before we even get to the cheerfulness, before we get there, there's some other things to learn here, right? First of all, notice you're supposed to give purposefully. Do you see that? As each one purposes in his heart. Well, you know what that means. You've got to plan it out. You've got to, before God, go, okay, God, I'm supposed to be a giver. Help me give as I should. And you've got to purposely give, which is the opposite of what? Just willy-nilly giving, and I'll give as maybe as an afterthought or just by compulsion. No, you got to purpose it out. I'm going to be a giver. That's what we decided to do. When I say we, it was just both of us, one flesh. We said, we're going to purpose to give, and this is how we're going to do it, based on what we believe you want us to do, God, according to your word. We purposed in our heart to give. It wasn't just, oh. So you want to be a purposeful giver, right? And then two, and we've talked about this, so I won't spend a lot of time, but I mean, we shouldn't give under compulsion. You know what that means, right? We feel forced to give, like a heavy hand is upon us. That's what I'm talking about, unhealthy emphasis on giving, man. Give. And because we're building or we're doing whatever, you got to give. That's under compulsion. I don't want to give, but my goodness, you're twisting me to give. And we don't want to give that way. That's not good. God says here, don't give under compulsion. Right? But we also don't want to give grudgingly, which is similar but slightly different. Grudgingly, the Greek word really sheds a light on this. The Greek word is lupe. It means just simply with sorrow or pain or grief. So the idea is, when you give, you're sorry. You do it, but you're sorry you're doing it. Right? Oh, I'm going to give, but it pains me to part with what I'm parting with. That's a grudging give. I'm grudge-filled. I'm giving, but I don't really want to. I really want to keep. That's not the kind of giving God loves, right? And I'd say that's a useless, vain giving. Because God, the act is not important. The act is, God wants a what? Cheerful giver, which is the opposite of the grudging giver. I don't want to part with what I got, but I guess I got to, Lord. No, I get the opportunity to give. And I give with joy. And I give happily. And I give, like we give worship. But we just, I hope you heard in Psalm 92, the call to worship. It's good to give praise gladly because I'm glad, my heart's glad for what you've done. Oh, so we give cheerfully, not with pain, not under compulsion, not grudgingly, not because we have to. God cares how, just as much with the act. That's faith. So, maybe just a few pointers to, well, how do you get to this glad-hearted giving, right? Because, whew, you know, money's a touchy subject. It's personal. Well, here's a few tips. First and foremost, and we've been talking about this, Paul's been pointing to this, right? Keep your eyes where? Keep your eyes on Christ. Keep your eyes on the gospel. Keep your eyes on the redemption. Keep your eyes on the fact that God the Father gave His Son as a gift, undeserved for you, the sinner, to meet your needs of paying the penalty for the wrath for your sins, right? As you keep your eyes on that and you know the depths of your sins and you see the depths of what God has given you, then it frees you up because, must give like you give, and I can give generously and bear your image. That has to be first and foremost. If you're not controlled by what? The love of Christ. The love of Christ constrains us. It controls us. That's how it works in every part of your life, including giving. The love of Christ. Oh, He loves me. How much He loves me. Now I'm free to love by giving if that opportunity arises. First and foremost. Two, see this fact. If you have an opportunity to give and the ability to give, what does that mean? That means in the present moment, God has given you more than you need. He has given you an abundance, right? If you have more than, what do you need? You need food, you need clothing, you need shelter. And Paul, by the Holy Spirit, said, with these things we need to be content. And if you have more than that, and therefore you can give, wow, you can go, God, you have blessed me with an abundance. I have the opportunity to give, right? And I don't have to just worry about food and shelter right now. You have blessed me greatly, right? So let that be cause you to be cheerful. God, you gave me an abundance. How can I not give? Two. Three, going back to the previous point, if you have an opportunity to give, what is this an opportunity to receive? As you give, God blesses the giver if you give by faith. Well, wow, I have an opportunity to give and be blessed by God somehow, right? Trusting that, right? If you just believe it on the basic level of it's better to give than receive, wow, then you've got that promise. It's better. It's better for me to be the giver in a situation than the receiver. Wow, I can be blessed by God. That ought to cheer the heart. God, this is an opportunity for God to bless me. And then the last one, just remember, when you're giving to someone or some cause or some need, you got to look past them, who you're really giving to? The Lord. It's always a gift of worship given to Him, right? So that ought to cheer your heart. Lord, I'm giving to You. I don't think you want to go giving to the Lord with that arm-twisted feeling, would you? Lord, I'm sorry, I don't want to give this, but I will if You're making me. No, we want to remember, if we're remembering who it's to, really, it should cause us to give with the right heart. And then you just use your own experience if you've got kids, right? What kind of obedience do you like from your kids? Do you like the kid who's, oh, Father, of course I want to obey You. What a blessing, right? What an opportunity to honor You as a gift from the Lord. And do follow Your wisdom that the Lord has given you over many years on this earth that I don't have. Wow, right? Wouldn't that be refreshing? Versus what? I guess if I've got to. You hate me, don't you? You know, you're making me do this. It's no different. It's no different, right? So we know, just think about that. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. There's a reason. He loves a cheerful giver, right? So, give with cheerfulness. Give with generosity. Third, give fearlessly. That should be a disposition. Give fearlessly. What do I mean? Let's look at verses 8 to 11. 8 to 11. Paul here continues to teach, right, and stir up the Corinthians to give, and he's expanding on that teaching Then 6 and 7 is really the same thought. He's not left that thought of don't sow sparingly because God will bless you. If you sow generously, He'll bless you. He's expanding on that teaching, right? Calling the Corinthians to really trust the Lord, right? That if you give, He's going to take care of you. Why? Well, he's aiming to put to death. He's aiming to cut off that fear that I think most men, if not all men, have at times, which hinders our giving. What fear? What fear? The fear that if I give what I have now in my hand, if I give it away, what's going to happen? Later on in the future, I'm going to be in want and need, and I've given away what would have taken care of me. Therefore, to take care, make sure I've got what I need, I don't want to give that away. That's a fear. And in order to cut that fear off and put a stake in it, Paul says, look, you don't need to have that fear. Because if you give, and you give rightly and by faith, guess what God's going to do? He's going to take care of you. Because His grace is abounding to you. Did you see that? In verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always having all sufficiency in everything. So you will have sufficiently what you need in everything. God's grace will abound you. Don't fear. And notice, you may have an abundance for every good deed. So not only will you have sufficiently what you need, but you'll have more than you need. Why? For more good deeds. What good deeds? More giving, right? That's why it's like God says, here's a little. Are you faithful with a little? I'll bless you with more. Why? So you can do the same thing over again. And then I can bless you again with more. You understand? It's not to bless us for us. It is a blessing to us. Grace abounds, but it's for the purpose of more godliness, more good deeds, of giving, to bear His image, to bless others. He blesses others through you, right? Do you see that? And then to back that up, he quotes Psalm 112:9. He scattered abroad, He gave to the poor, His righteousness abides forever. Look at that. He's saying, the person who scatters abroad, there's that seed sower again, the analogy right there in the psalmist, like the Holy Spirit wrote both of those passages. And he says he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor. So the person that does that, guess what? His righteousness will abide forever. I believe he's talking about those practical righteousness. The practical righteous deeds of giving will abide forever. They'll dwell forever before the Lord. They won't fail to be rewarded. It'd be like a fountain's opened up and God's going to just reward you for your righteous deeds that you did by faith. And so here you see the promise of not only earthly sufficiency and abundance, but the eternal that I talked about. God will bless you eternally as you give. Right? And then again, continuing to cut off the fear. We should give fearlessly. We don't give going, oh, then it's like seed. If you get them and throw them to the wind, it's like, oh, there it goes, it's gone. No, that's the fear. It's not gone. God's going to cause that seed to fall into the ground and to bring forth even a greater harvest than what went in. Don't fear. That's why in verse 10 and 11, he says, he points to he who supplies seed to the sower and the bread for food. Where does it all come from? God. He's the source. He's the source of what you give. He's the source of what you get. So don't fear. Because why? That one who gives it all, he's the source of it all. Ooh, he's going to increase your harvest of righteousness. Again, there's that practical righteous deeds of giving. To what point? So you'll be enriched in everything. Again, there's the same thought said in a different way. He's going to bless you to the point past sufficiency to be enriched. But don't miss the purpose. Enriched for what? For all liberality. So that you can be blessed. So your abundance is not for you. It's so that you can continue to liberally give. You have liberality toward the needy. So again, God is not going to bless you. The promise is not so that you can get more. It's so that you can get more to keep giving. And then you get more to keep giving. And you can be a conduit of God's love, of His blessing, of His grace to others to give as He gives. And so because of that, because of that promise, brothers and sisters, we ought to be able to give without fear. without fear of not having what I will need. And that's a real fear we all struggle with. Think if we're sincere, we struggle with, oh, what if I don't have? God is faithful. And you don't have to fear. He calls you to give and give because he's the one that gives and everything. So he will supply. So we ought to give with that disposition, generosity, cheerfulness, fearlessness. And the last one, verses 12 to 15, we should give with a desire for God's glory. We should give with a desire for God's glory. Because that's what our giving will produce if it's done right. That's the idea. Now, in verses 12 to 15, the apostle gives here to the Corinthians. Again, he's talking, he gives them several benefits that will come because of their giving, right? He's like, if you give, there's going to be all these benefits on top of or in addition to the benefit that the needy saints in Jerusalem will receive what they need, right? That's a bit, that they need that. So, but there's many reasons past that as to why you should give, because there's all these benefits that are going to happen. One, namely, all the way down in verse 14, we'll go back. 14 is those needy saints in Jerusalem, when they receive what they need, right? Not only will they receive what they need, but then they're going to pray for you, right? It says that while they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you. So not only will they pray, they'll pray earnestly for you. So they may not be able to repay you back, materially speaking, Corinthian believers, but they will repay you with something greater. They will pray for you. But that is a valuable gift, brothers and sisters. Somebody praying earnestly for you is a beautiful thing. And he says, you give to them, those people are going to pray for you. And I'm telling you, you want to love me sometime? Pray for me. That's a valuable gift. Pray. That's a beautiful result. Now, then there's two more that automatically go to the glory of God, right? The first is all the thanksgiving that will be made because of their gift, right? Not thanksgiving to the Corinthians, thanksgiving to God. Right? He says, first of all, there's already thanks being given to God for your gift by us, by Paul, by Timothy, by Titus, by all those working this ministry gift. We're thanking God already for the grace in the believers' lives, Macedonia, everywhere. We're giving, what do you mean? They're giving thanks to God for the grace poured on his people so that they could give generously like this by faith. They give thanks to God. And he says, what will happen when you give, Corinthians, not only will the Jerusalem believers have what they need, but they will give thanks to God for what he has done for them. And so if God gets thanksgiving, guess what? He gets glory. Why? Because he's getting the credit that he should get for the gift he has given. When believers and people actually give thanks to God, he's glorified because, again, we're acknowledging him as God and we're acknowledging him as the source of all these things. And so he's saying when you give, they're going to thank God and he's going to be glorified. So we ought to give, remembering it generates glory to God when we give because people will thank him if they see it rightly. And then two, not only will they glorify, thank God and glorify him, but they're going to, those believers and all the other believers that see it will see your faith. You see that? And because they see your faith, like tangibly they'll see your faith. They'll see an act. Remember, real faith is produced, living faith produces real acts, obedience. You see that? Verse 13 is the way Paul says it. He says, because of the proof given by this ministry of giving, they will, what proof? Their actual act of giving, they will prove your obedience to your confession of the gospel. So you confess you believe Jesus. Your giving is an actual tangible proof that you really do believe Jesus. And they'll see that, and what will they do? Glorify God. So that's the same with any of us, brothers and sisters. Notice that you do see this in the scriptures from time to time. Belief in the gospel, faith in the gospel is the same as what? Obedience to the gospel. There's no real faith if there's no obedience. And Paul's point is, as you give, it's a proof of your obedience to God's call, right? To follow Christ, to be a giver as he's a giver, and Christ will receive the glory. And that's what I mean. When we give, we ought to realize it's not about us, it's not even about the person, it's about the Lord. And if we give by faith, it's going to cause people to see our faith, not for us, but for God, and go, God did that, right? Only by God's grace that you would give like that. Why would these Gentiles in Corinth, in this immoral city, right, who hate Jews, give to the needy Jews in Jerusalem? Well, it certainly wasn't them and their natural disposition. It was the grace of God who's worked out salvation in them. And so because of that, when they see that, they'll glorify God. Oh, God, you're making yourself a people. Oh, God, you're working out your gospel all over this earth just like you promised. And he will get the glory. Now, as I conclude, I just want to conclude the same way Paul concludes this whole section. Not just this chapter, but the whole section. He just says in verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I mean, Paul's just doing what he did earlier. He's reminding them, right, what the center of it all is. Why should they give? Because God gave us Christ. The indescribable gift is what? It's Jesus. Jesus is the basis, the foundation for all Christian giving. Because he's the greatest gift that's ever been given and will ever be given. And it's always living in the light of that that will cause us to give as he calls us to. So brothers and sisters, may we live in the light of the gospel and the gift of Christ that the Father has given us to save us. And as we live in the light of that, may that cause us, free us up, right? Free us up to be generous. Free us up to be cheerful. Free us up to be fearless, and to be givers, as God freely gave to us. And that will give him glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word is truth. Lord, you speak to us here about this whole idea of giving and how, not only just that we should give, but how we should give, why we should give. Lord, that's only going to be right in us as we see Jesus rightly. Oh, help us to see how great of a gift giver you are through Jesus. And help us to see the magnitude of that gift toward us and what it means. And let that stir up in us a right faith and a right joy and a right obedience to you. May we be givers, because that's who you've been to us. And so we walk out and bear your image. We're your children. We're your children. Father, may we live and act like our Father who is in heaven. May you do this for the glory of your name. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.